You're on a GLP-1. Your appetite is changing, your cravings quiet down, and food noise is finally fading. But now you're wondering, how do I manage my side effects? What do I eat to stay strong? How do I break through a plateau? Because reaching your weight loss goals can take more than meds. That's where Weight Watchers Med Plus comes in. The support designed to help you navigate what comes next. With trusted experts who guide you, food plans that work with your body, support to help manage side effects, plus access to GLP-1 medication. Weight Watchers Med Plus is designed to help you lose more weight. Watch it work. Get started today at WeightWatchers.com. All medical services are provided through our affiliated medical group, Weight Watchers Clinic. Medications require eligibility and prescription. Individual results may vary. See site for more details.
Hello, lovely listeners. It's Emily from Dragonfly Tales. While you're waiting for the next news story, we've decided to look back into the archives at some stories that got a bit lost for a while. Every other week, we'll be giving these episodes a spotlight and calling them the Lost Stories. So here we go. I wonder which story is coming. Enjoy!
So, Emily, what's your story today?
We have a two-parter, an epic tale featuring one of the most famous outlaws ever. Let's see if you can guess who it is. He lives with his merry men in the greenwood. He robs from the greedy rich and gives to the needy poor. He's the best archer in the land. And his friends aren't too bad, too. He dresses in Lincoln green. Is this ringing any bells, Leo? It's
Robin Hood!
It's Robin Hood! Do you know any of his band of merry men?
Yeah, his closest friends are Little John and Will Scarlet.
Little John. Yeah, he's not very little, though, is he?
No, he's massive and really good with a quarterstaff.
That's right, yes, he's got a really strong quarterstaff that he uses to fight with. And do you know who his arch enemy is?
The evil Sheriff of Nottingham.
That's right, the greedy Sheriff of Nottingham who keeps the people starving poor. Robin has to hide out in the greenwood with his band of outlaws. The greenwood, do you know the name of the forest?
Sherwood Forest.
Sherwood Forest, that's right. But that doesn't make them baddies. They care about the poor people and are loyal to each other. So how do you think we should start our two-part story?
I think we should start with a pledge of honour to join Robin's band of merry men.
Excellent. Are you ready to say it with me?
Yep.
Here we go. Stand with me. Under the greenwood tree, and pledge, breath of the wood, honour, friendship, liberty. Well done. It was springtime in the greenwood. The sun rose and gently kissed every little sleeping bird, until they shook themselves awake and flew, singing sweetly, into the canopy of Sherwood Forest. So bright and tuneful was their song that it woke up Robin Hood and Little John. They stretched and yawned and then had breakfast of porridge and crusty bread with the other merry men.
How merry?
Last night, said Robin, I had a very strange dream, Little John. This hooded man was sitting under the ancient oak tree. I think he was waiting for me.
Ooh, sounds quite ominous.
It does, doesn't it? Oh, said Little John, it's only a dream, Robin. Come on, let's go wandering. I've a taste for adventure this morning. So the two brothers-at-arms went walking through the ancient wood as the leaves danced and swirled around their feet. Soon they came to where the path split in two.
I think I know what they're going to do.
Oh, said Robin. You take the left one and I'll take the right one and we'll each walk straight until we tumble upon an adventure. And so, with the clasp of palms and a fare thee well, the two friends headed off on separate paths. Who do you think we should follow first, Leo?
Let's follow Robin.
Well, Robin's path took him into the heart of the greenwood. He was comforted by the song of woodlark and blackbird, and he'd quite forgotten about that strange dream when there, by a stream, sat upon the mossy roots of an ancient oak tree, he saw a hooded stranger.
Is this the man from his dream? How is this possible?
Robin hid behind a bush to watch the man. He had a black hood over his head and was wearing a thick, hairy skin over his clothes. It was some kind of animal skin. Ugh. A horse's hide.
Poor horse!
Well, sometimes, in the olden times, they would use animal skin as a type of armour.
Oh, that makes sense.
By his side, the stranger had a long, heavy sword, and he wore a quiver of arrows across his shoulder.
Well, what about his bow?
His large bow was leaning against the ancient oak tree. He leaned forward, cupped a hand to drink from the stream, slurping the silvery liquid.
This guy means trouble.
I think so. And Robin thought so too. But this was his greenwood, so he approached the stranger and smiled, greeting him. Hello, friend. Who are you that sits here? And how strangely you are dressed. If I didn't know better, I'd think you were some demon come to drag me away to hell. But the stranger did not speak. He raised his face towards Robin, and Robin could see under the hood that he had a hooked nose, fierce, restless black eyes of a hawk, and a cruel, down-turned mouth. Robin felt himself shiver a little at the sight of him. Who are you that speaks to me thus, knave, scoundrel?
What does he mean by knave and scoundrel?
They're kind of like insults. If you call someone a knave, it's a bit like saying they're a bit of a villain.
I think this guy wants a fight.
Come, come now, friend. Why so moody? Said Robin. Have you had a few too many nettles for breakfast? Your words have a sting in them, sir.
Well, that's a good joke.
Yeah, because nettles sting, don't
they? Yeah.
You think my words sting? Then you best be gone. I've no time for you. Oh, that's a pity. I'm just being friendly. What is your name, friend? And why are you wearing a horse's hide? The stranger reached for his long sword and pointed it at Robin.
That's not very nice.
You ask a lot of questions, don't you? This skin I wear keeps me warm, and it's as tough as a coat of steel against a sword's blade. And as for my name, I am Guy of Gisborne. Robin had definitely heard of this man. He was an outlaw too, but not like Robin. Guy of Gisborne was much meaner and nastier. He was known to kill people for fun.
This guy really does bring trouble.
What brings you to Sherwood Forest? Why, said the stranger, have you not heard of that bold rascal Robin Hood who buzzes in the bonnet of the sheriff?
He doesn't know he's talking to Robin Hood.
Exactly. I hear there's no one brave enough to tackle this fellow, but I'll slash him in two and think nothing of it. And the sheriff of Nottingham will pay me and grant me pardon for catching and killing this Robin Hood. Send a thief to catch a thief. Robin's fingers itched, but he kept calm and did not reveal who he was to the stranger. Instead, he said, I've heard of you, Guy of Gisborne. It would indeed be a fine meeting between you and Robin Hood, but it would be a short meeting, for Robin Hood would beat you easily. Gisborne spat in the stream and he laughed. Poppycock! I'll skewer Robin Hood in seconds. But Robin continued. No, no, my smelly friend. All men and women and children in Sherwood Forest are excellent with a bow and arrow. They've been using longbows since they were babes. Even I myself, a humble craftsman. I'm a keen shot, sir, not perhaps as good as Robin Hood, but I'm good enough. I say, would you care for a little contest with me? Just for sport on this fine spring morning?
Oh, it's going to give him a taste of Sherwood Forest skill.
Robin took an arrow from his quiver and pointed it at the stranger with a innocent smile. Come on, a little target contest. Unless, of course, you think you might miss. Guy of Gisborne didn't like that at all. He stood up. Few men would dare challenge me. But I like your spirit, you rascal. I accept. Robin found a long stick of hazel wood. Then he walked 80 paces and thrust it in the ground in front of an ancient oak tree. He then walked back to Guy of Gisborne. Now, if you're as fine an archer as us Sherwood yeomen, let me see you split that stick with your arrow. Gisborne looked at how far away the stick was, and his face turned white. The devil himself couldn't hit that mark. But Robin was readying his bow. In a panic, Guy of Gisborne knocked the arrow to his bow. He released it and then watched in disgust as his arrow swerved off and landed with a whisper and a plop in the river. He tried twice more to hit the stick. One arrow hit the tree, and the last one didn't even reach.
This guy's no match for Robin.
Impossible, said Guy of Gisborne. It's too far. Robin's laughter echoed in his ears. Let's hope you do better with a sword, sir, or Robin Hood will skewer you for sure. Villain, hold your tongue. No man can hit that mark. Three shots took I, so three shots have you. Robin took his yew bow and strung it. He plucked a grey goose arrow from its quiver with the fingers of a temple dancer, and he placed the arrow against his bow. He was angry. He hated this evil man he had heard of, the innocent people that he'd killed for money, and now he was a hired hound for the sheriff. But he must stay calm. Breathe in. And it seemed as if the greenwood breathed in also. Robin whispered under his breath.
Honour, friendship, liberty.
And then he loosed the arrow. It flew through the air and split the hazel stick in two.
Hooray!
Guy of Gisborne could not believe his eyes. But he didn't have time to think more, for Robin Hood wheeled round, dropped his bow and drew his sword. There you have it, villain, murderer, vile beast. Leave these woods or fall to my blade. Guy of Gisborne shrieked in rage and he drew his sword. Villain yourself, for it is you who will fall this day, Robin Hood. And so the two became locked in battle, swords flashing in the sunbeams, grass trampled underfoot,
crash,
rolling and shrieking and clashing and clanging.
Come on, get him, Robin! This is so dramatic!
Gisborne flew at Robin but caught his foot and tripped on the tree root of the mighty oak. He came crashing down onto his back. He thrashed his sword towards Robin, who used his to knock Gisborne's sword from his hand. Gisborne rolled out of the way, leaving his horse's hide on the forest floor. And then he plunged into the swirling river. The current was strong, and it sucked him down, down to the bottom, and swept him away from the woods and on towards the sea.
That's the last we'll see of him.
Robin sank to his knees, exhausted. Guy of Gisborne was no more. But Robin's thoughts now turned to his enemy, the Sheriff of Nottingham, the man who had sent this awful villain to kill him. And an idea came to Robin. I wonder if you can guess what it is, Leo. Robin looked at the horse's hide on the ground and saw Gisborne's sword and bow lying nearby.
I think I can guess what he's going
to
do.
He put on the animal skin, strapped Gisborne's sword and bow to his body, picked up his own bow and his bugle horn. Then he pulled his hood down low so that none could see him for who he was. And he made his way through the wood to the open road.
He's disguised himself as Gisborne.
Brilliant. And now Robin Hood, disguised as the man in the horse's hide, journeyed to the one place he knew the Sheriff of Nottingham would be, stuffing his face with food and beer, at the King's Head Inn. And that is the end of part one. So, Leo, did you like part one of our Robin Hood story?
Yeah, I thought it was amazing.
What was your favourite bit?
Well, I liked the big battle between Robin Hood and Guy of Gisborne.
Ah, yeah, it was good, wasn't it? What do you think's going to happen next in part two?
Well, I think maybe Robin Hood's going to meet up with Little John.
Oh, yeah, Little John. He took the other path, didn't he? Let's find out what's happening with him. Meanwhile, Little John had taken the path to the left and wound his way through the glorious green trees until he reached the edge of the woodland. He passed by a little thatched cottage surrounded by twisting apple trees and pink hollyhocks.
Wow, that sounds cosy.
He was just thinking how cosy and lovely it was when he heard a sound. A sound of someone in deep sorrow. He pushed open the door to find a grey-haired woman seated in front of the cold fireplace, weeping bitter tears. Little John was a big-hearted chap, and he knelt down to comfort her with kind words.
"What ails you, my good lady?"
"Oh, I have three sons, as good and honest as any in Nottinghamshire. This very morning they've been taken by the sheriff's men. Oh, they are to be hanged, and I can do nothing to save them."
"What? Why?"
"They work so hard in the fields, but the king and the sheriff keep us all so hungry. So one moonlit night, my eldest slipped into the wood, and he killed a deer for food. He knew the danger of killing the king's deer, but we were starving hungry, and the meat would have lasted a long time. The rangers, the sheriff's rangers, they followed him back to this cottage and found where the deer meat was hidden. Oh, sir," she cried, "my oldest tried to explain it was just him alone that killed the deer, but neither of my younger lads would betray their brother. So they've taken all three."
"Why would the sheriff care that much about a deer?"
"Well, the king owns part of the forest where the deer is, and the king was quite selfish and said that the deer was only for him to hunt. But he still keeps these people starving."
"But these three boys will be hanged for trying to feed themselves."
"Now you know why Robin Hood is so angry with the rich folk and the king." And Little John was angry too. He was furious. "How dare they take your boys? Do you know where they're taken?"
Oh, the rangers have taken them to the horrible Sheriff of Nottingham. He is at the King's Head Inn. He's waiting for some stranger to return. I heard them muttering. Oh, please, sir, I know who you are from the colours you wear. You're one of Robin's merry men. You're loyal and true to the poor people of Sherwood. You must save my boys before the Sheriff has them killed.
Calm yourself, said Little John. I'll rescue your lads, but I'll need a disguise. And so the old woman gave Little John some of her late husband's old clothes and gave him a long brown cloak. Then, with his quarterstaff in one hand and his bow in the other, he raced along the King's Great Way to the King's Head Inn.
I think my prediction may have been right.
What do you mean?
Well, I think Robin's on his way to the King's Head Inn as well. I think they might meet.
Maybe. The King's Head Inn was full of people. Frothing beer, smells of sizzling meat from the spit, raised voices laughing, the clatter of cups and plates and dice on the table, groaning and barking of dogs lying under tables at their master's feet. And in one darkened corner of the inn sat the Sheriff of Nottingham. His fingers were greasy with meat juices, his lips stained with wine. He wiped his black beard with the back of his hand and stared at the three boys who stood trembling in front of him. Their hands were bound behind their backs. The inn fell silent. So, you dare to steal the king's deer? Each of his words hung with icicles. You vermin are a scourge on this fair county, and I will stamp the lot out once and for all, starting with the three of you.
What a rotter.
Please, sir, begged the eldest. It was me who stole the deer, not my brothers. We were starving.
But the sheriff rose from the table and roared, Be silent! Take them out into the forest.
And so the three boys were led out, heads bowed.
Horses were mounted, and the sheriff and his men rode into the wood, the three boys walking together, surrounded on all sides by the powerful ranger horses. And when they reached a great oak, they saw a tall fellow in a brown cloak leaning on his staff and watching.
Little John!
The sheriff stared at him. There was something vaguely familiar about this old man. You, he said, come here. What is your name, man?
Oh, your worship, my name is of no consequence. I'm nothing and a nobody to the likes of you, but I do find myself in need of money and would gladly beg a sixpence. Happy to do something for you in return.
Very well, old man, said the sheriff. These rascal boys are thieves. They need hanging quickly. My men are rangers, not executioners, so if you will dispose of them, I shall give you a pretty sixpence. And he smiled, showing his blackened teeth.
Oh, very good, your worship. Now, tell me, have they said their prayers? Naughty boys they may be, but I would still say them a quick prayer in each ear for Our Lady.
Oh, very well, say them a prayer. The old man hobbled over to the kneeling boys and told them to stand. Then he came very close to the youngest and whispered in his ear.
Stand still, brother of the greenwood. Your mother has sent me to you, for I am Little John. When I take off this disguise and shout, you run and hide in the trees.
And then with his dagger, Little John swiftly cut the ropes that bound the boy's hands. He did this again to the middle brother, and finally to the eldest, and each time the boys bowed their heads as if they were hearing a prayer.
Little John is so brave.
Then he stood back. He threw off his brown hood, raised his bow and arrow at the sheriff and shouted, "Run!" Quick as a flash, the boys sped like wildfire into the woodlands and down a steep bank and off into the trees.
That was lucky.
The sheriff looked on in horror at Little John. He tried to signal his men to chase the boys, but Little John cried, "Stand your men down, sheriff, or this arrow finds a home in your black heart." The rangers did not move, for they knew that Little John was as good as his word. Hoping and praying that the boys were now safely in the greenwood, Little John backed away from the party, his bow still aimed at the sheriff's heart. But suddenly, a ranger shouted and pointed back toward the road and the inn. A man was coming towards them, dressed in a horse's hide.
Robin!
Little John looked up, and when he saw the dark figure, with Robin's horn and Robin's faithful ewe-bow, his heart, it broke. No! Robin! Robin is dead!
No, but he doesn't understand. That is Robin.
As the sheriff clapped his hands in glee, Little John began to scream through his tears, "Villain! Curse thee, Guy of Gisborne, for killing my brother Robin!" And Little John turned and pointed the arrow at the stranger in the hood.
Oh no! He's going to kill his best friend by mistake!
"You murderer," said Little John. "This arrow will find a place in your heart." And he pulled back the bow. But then he caught a glimpse of something. The man he thought was Guy of Gisborne was winking at him from under his dark hood. "Robin?" The figure nodded, reached down for the bugle horn, raised it to his lips and blew three loud blasts.
Da-doom, da-doom, da-doom.
Little John now realised his friend was in disguise. He turned his bow back onto the sheriff, who shrieked in disbelief, "No, it's Robin Hood!" And soon the trees were full of Robin's merry men, summoned by their leader's horn, and all were aiming their arrows at the sheriff. In a blind panic, the sheriff turned his horse around and galloped back up onto the king's great way as fast as he could.
What a coward!
Yes, and the sheriff's men, seeing their master running away like a big coward, decided there was little reason for them to stay any longer, so they spurred their horses and galloped off after the sheriff.
They're all cowards! Good riddance!
Now, the sheriff's horse was fast, but it's not as fast as a grey goose arrow. Little John let fly that arrow, which twanged its way into the fat backside of the sheriff as he made for Nottingham town, wagging his tail behind him.
Oh, not the bottom!
For a month, that miserable man could not sit down on his swollen bottom. But instead, he paced up and down, cursing the name of Robin Hood! And what happened to the widow's three sons? They were safe in the greenwood.
That's good.
And once they told their mother of their escape, they stood that night under the greenwood tree, surrounded by all the merry folk. And they dressed themselves in the colours of Lincoln green, and they took the pledge of the merry men.
Breath of the wood, honour, friendship, liberty.
Will you pledge too?
The end.
So, Leo, did you like the second part of our Robin Hood story?
Yeah, I thought it was amazing.
What was your favourite bit?
Well, I liked how they both ended up meeting in the same place.
Yeah, they did.
After they went on two different adventures. That's right. Why I love stories.
I know, it was great, wasn't it? They both found themselves together. I quite like the fact that Little John shot an arrow into the Sheriff of Nottingham's behind.
Oh, not the bottom! So that's it for this episode. We hope you enjoyed our epic tale of Robin Hood, and we look forward to hearing some of your stories soon.
And if you are enjoying our podcast, please, please leave us a review, and if you can, make a little donation on the website to keep us going. And
thank you so much.
You have been listening to Dragonfly Tales with Emily and Leah.
We hope you enjoyed our podcast and we'll be back with another story soon.
But until then, may the green wood shelter you all the year round.
May friendship and loyalty always be found.
Bye.
Our podcast is brought to you by Emily, Andy and Leo at Dragonfly Tales UK. Come and join our Patreon club for shoutouts, extra stories and ad-free content. Search Dragonfly Tales to follow us on Facebook, Instagram and TikTok. Thanks for listening.
IPVanish protects every device you own. Your phone, your laptop, your smart TV. If it connects to the internet, it should be protected. IPVanish encrypts your connection and masks your IP address, helping keep your browsing private at home and on public Wi-Fi. And with no device limits, one account covers everything. Stream with added privacy. Browse securely. Connect with confidence. Right now, save 83% off the 2-year plan. Get started today at ipvanish.com/audio. And take control of your privacy with IPVanish.